don't we give the Lord a shout? Hallelujah. Lord, we give you praise. We celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want you to know we have prayed for you today. We've prayed for everybody here, everybody viewing in. And a real prayer right out of Scripture that's close to the Lord is that your eyes of your heart may be open to see Him. And I would hope that it would be easy to see past me and just see Jesus. Because when you see Jesus, I want to tell you, that's where we get transformed. And so the Word is about revealing Him, revealing the author. There's a lot of great information and in the Word. But I want to tell you, the author wants you to know Him. And the Word's been given to us so you can know Him. He wants you to know Him. And I want to tell you, things happen. That, as a matter of fact, that's the real definition of eternal life, is knowing Him. And so the Lord's so excited about you today. We're excited about you today. And we're praying that the eyes of your heart be open, the ears of your heart be open, that you can hear Him. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Amen? We love the Word, don't we? Okay, here we go. This is part five. This is... In spite of everything that's happened last year, whatever can happen this year, I'm announcing to you that He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And because of who He is, this can be the greatest year of your life. What He says, what He does, reveals who He is. And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit wants to reveal Jesus to you. And He will. If you'll seek Him, because this is so powerful. This is out of Psalm 23. I'm going to read verse 1, verse 6. This is kind of the theme for this series, how to have the greatest year of your life. We're saying follow the Son in 21. You know, that's always protocol. That's always right. It'll make a heaven of a lot of difference if you follow the Son in 21. Okay, this time next year you'll be confessing how that the Lord did great things. And the world may be saying, oh me, but you'll be saying, praise Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. All right, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, is very important there. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. I just love that. I've probably told this already in this series. I can't help it. It's on my heart this morning. But my little parents, after having a couples ministry for a number of years in different churches, they, in their later years, they taught the, I think it was the 3-year-old Sunday school class in a church. And they were going to cover the 23rd Psalm one day. And so little Mammy said, now today we're going to cover the 23rd Psalm. Little fella raised his hand and says, I know it! It's 3 years old. She said, well, okay, well, just go ahead and tell us about it. The Lord is my shepherd. It's all I want. Well, I just enjoyed that so much. You know, He had it right. He had it right. I want to tell you, if the Lord is your shepherd and you're fulfilled, because He's able to make you content where no human can. He's able to make you fulfilled where no object or no subject can. He is able to meet the inside of your need where no one else can touch. That's your shepherd. And I want to tell you, when you are following your shepherd and letting your shepherd minister to you, you can confess. You can say, I have all that I need. Wow. Verse 6 says this, surely. Now, you know what surely means. We've covered this. It means for sure, for sure, for sure. It means absolutely. It's concrete. It's Bible. It's God. It's speaking of His character. His Word reveals who He is. Surely. Your goodness, God's goodness and unfailing love will pursue me. That means to chase me down like those beagle hound dogs will chase me down all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean camp out at church 7 days a week, but what it does refer to is enjoying His presence in my long, blessed life. Boy, that's the heart of the Lord. That's the desire of the Lord for you. Don't we love Him? Isn't that great? And so here's a little principle I want to cover with you before we get right into Genesis, because I've got a lot to share with you today. So thank you for listening fast. But it goes like this, that we see and receive what we're focused on and looking for. Now, that's a real principle. And I'm going to prove this to you with Scripture at the end of the sermon. And so you got to stay awake, you got to stay alert, and you got to listen fast so we can get there, okay? But I'm going to prove that to you with some Scripture just toward the end of the sermon. But if you, and this is what it's referring to, there's a lot of people walking in fear. That's the norm for humans. But we're not just humans, amen? We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. We're complete in Jesus. We've become a new creature in Christ. And so Christ dwells in us. How exciting is that? And so we don't have to live the way the world does. This is the norm for the world. But the Bible says be conformed. Don't be poured into the mold of the world. We have a different purpose. But a lot of the world is looking over their shoulder and understand, because of what all's said and what all's related and what all's reported, they looking over their shoulder expecting sickness and destruction to chase them down. Right? And so, worry is like a normal heartbeat for humans. But we don't have to go there. All right? Worry is an expression of fear. And if you are looking over your shoulder, like most people are, and you're expecting destruction or sickness or something to chase you down to steal, kill, and destroy, if you're looking over your shoulder expecting that, guess what? You're going to attract that. I want to say it in football terms. You're going to catch it. You don't want that, do you? But if you by faith, see, here's the other parallel truth in this principle. If you by faith are looking over your shoulder, and like Bible says, reflecting the heartbeat of the Lord, when you're looking over your shoulder and you're expecting the goodness and mercy, hey, the unfailing love of God, having hope in Him, and I want to tell you, I got to park there. Hope is the expression of expecting God's goodness. Well, when you're expecting God's goodness, see, that's what we're looking over our shoulder expecting, because that's what Bible says, that His goodness and unfailing love is chasing us down. When we're looking over our shoulder expecting that, guess what? You're going to attract that. Football terms, you're going to catch it. And so, which do you want? Man, that's clear Bible. I mean, we can cover this in children's church and make progress. That's really good. Okay, Genesis 26, are you ready to get into this? And there was a famine in the land. Genesis 26, verse 1. There was a famine in the land other than the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. This was about Isaac's days. And Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt." Now, why do you think the Lord said that? Because that was the highway of escape. Okay? Famine in the land, let's go where there's not one. Let's go to Egypt. Now, Egypt is always a picture of the world. And so we don't run to the world for our answer. All right? But here we go. I'm telling you, there are a lot of people who have, I'm going to try to explain it like this, have an escapism mindset. And escapism mindset is not to be our mindset. You see, that's a world mindset. Let's just get out of here. Let's just escape. Let's run from the problem. And that's escapism. That's a world mindset. We need to have a word mindset. And a word mindset goes like this, that we're not running from the problem. We're running to Jesus. We're not trying to escape a situation. We're running to our shepherd. There's a difference, and I want you to catch this. There's a difference between escapism mindset and Jesus being your rescue. Because when you're running to Jesus, He's your answer. He's your protector. He's your shepherd. He's got a rod to protect you, says in Psalm 23, to protect you from the enemy. And even if you come to the valley of the shadow of death, He will not just bring you to it, He'll bring you through it. That's a good word. And because He's our rescue. And so instead of running from something, we follow the Son. And He's our rescue. And in 2 Peter 2:9, you don't have to turn there. I don't think I have that anyway, do I? Okay, 2 Peter 2:9, you can write that down. It talks about how the Lord knows how to rescue His people from trials and tribulation because He's our rescue. It also says in Corinthians that He's our way of escape. He's the way of escape. But you say, when he's the way, the truth, the life, and you come to him, and he's the one that chooses how to rescue you, whether to give you grace and strength in it and through it, or to bring you out of it to plant your feet on a solid place. That's the shepherd's decision and not ours. You see, there's a big difference there. And so what I love about Isaac here is that he obeyed the Lord. Listen to what the Lord told him. Live in the land of which I will tell you. Wow, that's good. I want to tell you, if Elijah was here, he would say, yeah, look for the place called there. The place called there, wherever that is where the Lord points. But it was not a place that Elijah would have picked. And he wouldn't have chosen the way that the Lord provided. Don't put God in a box. When the Lord says there, that's the place where he is. And you want to be where he is. Because where he is, provision is there. Be close to the shepherd. Stay with the shepherd. Closely with the shepherd. And I want to tell you, not only did the Lord provide for Elijah in a place that he would have never guessed, but he provided for him well. You know, he probably ate better than he ever ate in his life. But you know what? The Lord brought him out of his comfort zone. Because I want to tell you, it was not in Elijah's comfort zone for the delivery system to be by ravens. Hey, he represented the prophets, Elijah did. He represented the prophets. Boy, I'm going to talk about that sometime this year. But I want to tell you something about Elijah. When he looked at ravens, he saw them because, as a prophet, he saw them of the enemy. And he saw them as an unclean bird, absolutely representing the enemy. And so, but I want to tell you something. God used what he would call the world, what he would be uncomfortable with. The Lord brought him out of his comfort zone to depending on the Lord, and the Lord provided. He has many ways to provide for you. Don't put him in a box. He has many channels of blessing to touch your life because he's the creator. He's very creative. Amen? So don't we love him? I want to tell you, it's important for us to live in the land which I tell you. Look at verse 3. He says, dwell temporarily in this land. This is not your final destination. Boy, there's some old songs that kind of go this way that I'm going to bless you by not singing. But it goes like this. I want to tell you this. This world is a temporary visit. I know sometimes we get the mindset of the world that this is it. Well, no, this is not it. This is temporary. The house where you live, it's just a tent till you get to your mansion. Okay? Hey, the job that you have, the situation that you're in, this is not forever. Okay? It's anything that you can taste, touch, or feel is temporary. I want to tell you, we have something much more than that to look forward to. Sometimes I love to enjoy people, and sometimes when I'm traveling and speaking, they'll say, well, where are you going next? And I'll say, well, whatever state I'm in, I'll say, well, I'm in Oklahoma. I'm just passing through Oklahoma on the way to heaven. I may pass back through Texas on the way to heaven. But see, my destination is heaven. And I want to tell you, when you get your destination on something geographically here on earth and you center all your life around that, hey, I want to tell you something we can miss. As a matter of fact, as a believer, I'm just going to kick this out to you. I don't have time to preach on this morning. But as a believer, your destination is the journey with Jesus. Wow. If we grab a hold of that, it's going to release some expectations, unmet expectations that we run into on this earth that bring discouragement and disappointment, and we'll put our focus on the shepherd. And when you put your focus on the shepherd, I want to tell you, whether you're in much or in little, you're fulfilled in him. That's a great place to be. You can give thanks in whatever situation. But, you know, we're passing through Texas this morning on our way to heaven. That's a good word. We're to follow the Son. Sometimes people get kind of tied up about a job, you know, and sometimes we get this fantasy view that, yeah, you know, the Lord's blessed me with a good job, but I don't really like my job. I want to tell you, I love what I do. But I can tell you this, if you're not doing what you do for the honor and glory of God, I want to tell you, it can be a pain. I don't care what job it is. And I want to tell you, you may not enjoy your job, but you can enjoy the Lord at your job. But I want to tell you this, when you do it as unto the Lord, it makes a difference. If you're changing diapers, do it unto the honor and glory of God. Amen. Whether you eat or drink or change diapers, do it in the honor and glory of God. But here's the deal. Sometimes we get a fancy view about our job, and, you know, I just need a bigger job. I need a bigger money, right? You know, come on now. I need an easier job. It's always easier, you know. I need an easier job, but I want to tell you something. When the Lord says, dwell here, that's the best place to be. No matter what the money is. No matter what the responsibility is. Anyone listening? Do I have amen in the house? Okay, because the Lord is our supply. Listen, it's that way about church too. I mean to tell you, you know, we have folk come and go sometime. I want them all to stay. But sometimes people come and go. But I want to tell you something. When sometimes we can get a fancy view about church. And I've had to tell a few people, well, if you find that perfect church, don't go there. You'll mess it up. Okay? Because we're not perfect. There's not a perfect church. There's not a perfect pastor. I was listening for some amens on that. There should have been. But I want to tell you something. There's no perfect people. Okay? And let me just rush to say, sometimes people get that way about their marriage. And let me tell you something. I know our journey can get messy. I got messy in my journey, too, in the past. But I want to tell you something. In spite of messy, whoever you're married to right now, you're to assume that's God's will for your life. All right? Do not follow the fantasy of shopping for a newer model. Because I'm going to tell you, you're not one. Okay? Now, I'm trying to help you out with this because sometimes people get, you know, the grass is greener on the other side. Well, maybe you need to till your own soil. Add a little, well, I was going to say fertilizer, but add a little water to your side. Give a little TLC to your side and watch the Lord turn your heart. Because I want to tell you, hey, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be. And we can turn our heart. Well, enough with messing. Let's get back to the message. Dwell temporarily in this land, and all the people said. And here's the key. I will be with you. Now, I want to tell you, that's the promised presence of the Lord. You cannot go wrong. You will not go wrong recognizing the promised presence of the Lord. Isn't there great protection in the Lord? Great provision in the Lord? He said, I will be with you, and I will favor you with blessings. Now, we know this. Hey, we just covered Psalm 23, verse 6. He's going to chase us down with goodness and unfailing love. Chasing us down. Somebody say, every day and every way. That sounds just like the heart of your Father. For to you and to your descendants, I will give these lands. I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. Now here's promised blessing being passed down. And I want to tell you, that's true for us today. It's true for us today. According to the New Testament, in Jesus, when you accept Jesus, you become a part of the true children of Abraham. Now, sometimes I have people question me. I've already covered this in another sermon that, well, you know, you can't apply. Yes, you can, because it's the same Father, same heartbeat, same love. And I want to tell you, we don't have a weaker covenant. We have a stronger covenant. And the covenant of Abraham was not a covenant of law. It was a covenant of grace. It was by faith, through grace. And I want to tell you, he received, and he wasn't perfect. We've talked about how he messed up. Isaac messed up, too, in some of the same ways his dad did. That apple doesn't fall far. But we have, through Jesus, a better covenant, better blessings, better relationship with God, and all the saints said. You see, we have a new covenant in Christ, but let me announce something to you. It supersedes. Well, that's even more. It supersedes the Abraham covenant. Now, you know, as a matter of fact, do we have Galatians 3? We don't have Galatians 3. I'm going to read it to you right here because it's in the, yes, you're right, it's in the New Testament. I didn't have it picked ahead of time. Watch this right here. Well, there it is. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Watch this right here. Christ purchased our freedom and redeemed us from the curse of the law and its condemnation by becoming a curse for us. I'm telling you, you can take all the curses in Deuteronomy, and you can say all of those curses were placed on Jesus. Wow! We're no longer cursed because of what we do or what we do not do. I want to tell you, we're blessed because of what Jesus has done. And by grace, he came and said, I will, I will, I will. Wow. I want to tell you, somebody need to celebrate this. And in verse 14 says, in order that in Christ, get this, when you accept Christ, curses are paid for by Christ. In Christ, see, sometimes people wonder about the curses of family generation. I want to tell you, Jesus took that curse. And so if you're looking on down your genealogy, you're looking on down in the path, say, oh my, oh my, oh my. With Jesus, when you accept Jesus, you can say, praise him, praise him, praise him. Because all of our curses were poured out on him on the tree, on the cross. So he took them away. Boy, that'd be a great announcement that you need to make this morning, is that he took my curses away. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham, whoop, whoop, there it is. The blessing of Abraham might also come to the Gentiles. Hey, here we are. So that we would all receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. I want to tell you, that is the down payment of all that God wants to do for you. And he's given it to us through Jesus right there. Isn't that exciting? And so I'm saying to you that Jesus qualified you. Your works didn't. Verse 3, he talks about, I'll be with you, I'll bless you. We have a New Testament promise. And God made an oath to himself for us. He did it for us. I will bless you and I will multiply you. Let's look at verse 4. Genesis 26, 4. And I will make your descendants to multiply as the stars of heaven. Now, hey, you cannot measure the stars of heaven. With all the technology, with all the science that they have, they still can't count all the stars. I want to tell you, every time they think they're close, there's more, there's more, there's more. And I want to tell you, what is it a picture of? Well, I'm here to announce to you that that's God's heart of love for you, is to bless you more than you can measure. Extremely more. It's immeasurable. His love for you is immeasurable. Humans love to measure destruction, right? You hear that all the time, every day. But I'm telling you, when you're focused on the immeasurable goodness and love of God, it ought to overwhelm us. I want to tell you, it's amazing all that God has planned for you. His thoughts for you are good. I don't know how much a thought weighs, but he says, my thoughts are weighty towards you. They're heavy. I'm telling you, that's got your name on it. Wow. That's covenant blessing. That's grace favor. And it's not based on us. It's based on Jesus. It's based on his words, his promises. And it's very, very important that we don't limit God with small-mindedness. Because sometimes we want to disqualify ourselves and say, you know, I don't deserve it. You know, I'm not like Pastor Don, and I'm like not like Mother Mary. And I don't, you know, oh, hey, look, look, look. Jesus doesn't disqualify you. He qualifies you. Don't help the enemy out by looking in the mirror and saying to yourself what God doesn't say. Let's look in the mirror of the Word of God and see what he says about us, and let's say what he says, and all the people said. Amen. Amen. So don't limit God with small-mindedness, compromised faith, or a complacent attitude. Wow. You know, I've preached on that. I could do that real easy. But I'm telling you, don't go the way of the world with their worldly thinking. I'm telling you, the normal human mindset is dark. Okay? We fill our mind, renew our mind with the Word of God, and let's say what God says about it. God's so excited about you. He's got more planned for you than you can guess. And look at what it says right here. And he will give posterity all these lands and kingdoms. I want to tell you, he's got lands planned for us. He's got human lives planned for us. This land needs to praise Lord. All these lands need to praise the Lord, and he's got lands for our future that we can receive and give back to him to bring him honor and glory. Somebody say amen. Amen. And by your offspring, now if you notice, that's got a capital letter on it, and I want to tell you, I'm announcing to you, that's a reference to Jesus, because he's the seed of Abraham, and I want to tell you, in Christ, we're the seed of Abraham, we're the offspring. Did I just share that with you? Okay, so you know what? We fit there. And look at this. Here's God's desire through Jesus, through you, that all the nations of the earth be blessed. I know sometimes we get a narrow viewpoint and we think, well, blessing me, blessing me, blessing me. No, no, no. When we get the heartbeat of God, are you blessed or are you loved? Yes, but it's not just for you, it's for others. And if he can trust you with the others, you're going to be so blessed. You see, we become a channel of blessing. Not the Dead Sea, where everything goes in, nothing comes out. But we become a living river of life. Somebody say amen. Oh, man, let's catch that. Let's catch that. I want to tell you, God wants to trust us with this. That all the nations of the earth be blessed. And listen to this. Does this sound like New Testament promises right here? Or by him, capital letter H, by Jesus, they will bless themselves. You know, that's the promises of God right there. We will bless ourselves because of him. I'm telling you, he told us. Pray, believing, trusting. And what happens? We receive. Where two or three agree is touching anything, it's done. And so his desire is for us to be super blessed, to be a channel of his love and a channel of his blessing to others. We're blessed to bless others. Verse 5 says this. Now, I want to just announce this. Abraham was blessed not because of the law or because of his perfectness. He was blessed because he believed God. He was blessed because he had faith toward God. He was blessed because he loved God. All right? But this is how it showed up in his life. And this is the way that faith and love for God will show up in your life. This is what it looks like. Verse 5, for Abraham listened to and obeyed my voice. I want to tell you, Jesus said that. He said, those that love me, obey me. Boy, that's just real simple. Love the Lord, you have the want to. Not made to by a list of rules and regulations. When you know the Lord and knowing him, you love him, and your love for him wants to honor him, wants to bless him, wants to do what he says. It's not trying to talk yourself into it. It comes from in out instead of it trying to be out in. Boy, doesn't that make a mess? Doesn't that wear you out in a hurry? This is what he said. For Abraham listened to and obeyed my voice. And this is the way, I just got to say, this is the way, this is what love does. Faith is expressed in our lifestyle. Faith is expressed in our actions. If it doesn't show up on the outside, is it real on the inside? Wow. Jesus said it's real possible for people to love me with their lips, praise me with their lips, but their heart be far from me. I was looking at the heart. Amen. His eyes roam to and fro to look at the hearts. Jesus said, those that love me obey me. They follow me. They do what I say. He obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commands, my statutes, my laws. I want to tell you, the great thing about Abraham that got him in on the flow of God was that he passed the allegiance test. He proved, God, you're first. Even before my own son, I put you first. And I want to tell you, that touched God. And I want to tell you, it's the same thing with us. See, hey, we all face a test. And a test is not God's desire to fail you. A test is for God to show you what's in your heart so you can cooperate so he can bless you. You see the difference in that? God's desire is to bless you through a test. But here's the deal. All of us face a test of allegiance. And I want to tell you, God knows where you are. Now, I'll tell you what's kind of sad. Sometimes we don't even know our own heart. That's what the Bible says. Man, our own heart can absolutely pervert us or to cause us to be deceived. But I'm telling you, when you bring your heart before the Lord, he can show you if there's a rock there or a stone there or thorns there, he can help bring it out. Amen? Is he the master gardener? Yes, he is. And he loves to help us renew our mind. Because when we renew our mind with the Word, when we reprogram the computer with the Word of God, I want to tell you, we have transformed lives, and it shows up not just in our heart, but in our actions. That's Christianity. And we have an inheritance because of Jesus. Now, I know that there's an echo sometimes that happens when you make statements like that, that, you know, now, Brother Tim, now, you know, we're talking about spiritual blessing. Don't get over into the physical. No. I'm trying to share with you that spiritual is the source. But because the spiritual is the source, he has blessed us with everything that we need in this life. He's not going to give you Jesus and then refuse to bless you in this way or that way. I'm telling you, Jesus is the great, and he has provided. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings. And I want to tell you, everything that we need in this life, according to 2 Peter 1:3 and verse 4, everything we need in this life has been provided to live a godly life. I want to tell you, that's just terrific. That ought to excite somebody. Genesis 26, verse 12. Then Isaac sowed seed in that land, the very land that God told him to stay in. Isaac sowed seed in that land and received in the same year 100 times. Wow. Somebody say praise the Lord. Because I want to tell you, the same God that did this for Isaac is your God. The same God that loved Isaac, that promised to Isaac, loves you and has a promise to you. Let me go ahead and rush and say this. He's a respecter of persons. Let me announce to you, he doesn't love Isaac more than he loves you. Wow. In the same year, 100 times as much as he planted, and the Lord favored him with blessings. You know why this happened? Because Isaac was super saint? No. It's because the Lord loved him and the Lord favored him with blessings and the Lord kept his promise. And that's the same reason why this can be the best year of your life. Let's not limit the Lord. There's many channels of blessing every day and every way. God's goodness and unfailing love is chasing us down for sure, for sure, for sure. And the saint said, amen. 100-time increase during famine. And you say, well, that was a one-time event. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Call it a miracle if you want to. But I want to tell you, not only was it a miracle, it was a blessing. And I want to tell you, God wants you to operate under his blessing. I know we need a miracle sometime, but I want to tell you, God wants you to operate under his blessing. Look at this, verse 13 proves that. And the man became great and gained more and more. Do you see that? You see, that's what God's favor is. He's promised us in Proverbs 16 that he will cause us to have favor with God and man. That's the Lord. Only the Lord can do that. That's not by politicking. Amen. That's the favor of the Lord. And I love to express it like this, that God has created us to be a two-way people. There's only one way, and that's Jesus, but that's not what I'm referring to. I'm referring that our life operates two ways, vertical and horizontal. And let me say, we explain it like this. Keep the roof off and the walls down so that the channel, the flow of love can flow, so the channel of blessing can flow. And I'm going to tell you, if you have a wall up, between you and fellow man, it can hinder the vertical. If you have a roof between you and the Lord, it can hinder the horizontal. Do you understand that? That's the way we're created, and he wants us to operate in an openness and in a reality both directions, with humility before God and man. And what we're describing is a dependency upon God. Who are you depending on? Let's depend on the Lord. It's not just a miracle. He walked in blessing. Greater and greater. Isn't that great news? I want to tell you, Isaiah 43:19 says this, that God's doing a new thing. And then he asks a question. He says, do you perceive it? Do you recognize it? Are you going to receive it? You see, it presents that God's doing a new thing continually. Because his compassions are fresh each morning. And I want to tell you something. Hey, he is for you, more than you're for you. And I'm just announcing to you that his heart is to chase you down and bless you. But I want to tell you, he's continually doing a new thing. But it's possible to miss it. Don't miss it. Let's get in on it. And the way to get on it, hey, is with your heart saying yes to God. That's not complicated. That's not hard. It's something that we can do today. Verse 14, you see, this wasn't just spiritual blessing. Look at this. He owned flocks and herds and a great supply of servants. And look at this. And the Philistines envied him. You see, so it wasn't just spiritual. It was physical also. Source is spiritual. Shows up in the physical. Amen. That's the way the Lord loves to work. Hey, the Philistines were not spiritual people. They were worldly people. They didn't have spiritual eyes. But physically, they saw the blessing of God on Isaac, and they recognized it. And the Bible says they envied him. That's going to be 2021 for you. Are you interested? God wants to so bless your life and so favor your life that it will cause other people to envy. Now, look, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Because in the New Testament, even the description, the definition of the blessed man that Jesus talks about. Blessed are those. Then that definition of blessed is such a touch and a favor of God on you that it causes other people to envy. It causes other people to want your God. Wow. Man, that's Christianity. This is New Testament definition of blessed. Hey, when the world sees the joy and the peace and the love on you, when the world sees Jesus on you, even when things go wrong, we are blessed. And it touches them that your God is real. It causes them to realize they envy that they don't have what you have. And it's Jesus. That's Thanksgiving. Hey, we're to rejoice in that. We're so spiritually and physically blessed. This is our testimony that His goodness and unfailing love continually chases us down. Even during a pandemic, even during a famine, even during inclement weather, and all the Texans said, yeah, we're not to bow down to it. We're not limited. It's possible for God to lie. We're not to worry. Worry is an expression of fear. Hey, we're to be blessed and to give thanksgiving because you know what? That's an expression of faith, right? Hebrews 6. And in verse 13 and 14, and I don't really have time to go there. I'm just going to tell you this. God wants to give us faith, endurance, faith blessing. Same Father, same blessing that we've talked about Abraham, same blessing, same Father, same heart of love for you. And He wants to give us an endurance, okay, to don't quit. If you don't quit, you win. The battle's not over till you win. God's not finished. Hebrews 6, 17. Accordingly, God also in His desire to show more convincingly. This is to get it right down here on our level so that there won't be any question. His desire to show His heart for us more convincingly and beyond doubt so that it's obvious and it's crystal clear to those who were to inherit the promise, which is those that receive Christ, unchangeableness of His purpose and plan. Hey, your past doesn't limit God's future for you. Your past doesn't disqualify God's blessing for you. But I'm telling you, we have an opportunity. But God put it in this way so it would be crystal clear that His heart for you has not changed, in spite of you, has not changed, but because of Jesus and His promise and His oath, listen, He will bring it to pass. I love this. Hey, He intervened and mediated with an oath, and this is something He didn't have to do. This was so that by two unchangeable things, unchangeable, His promise and His oath, in which it is impossible for God to ever prove false or deceive us. It's impossible for God to lie. Somebody say amen. We who have fled to Him, who have come to Him, that He's our refuge. He's our city of refuge. Jesus is our rescue, that we might have mighty indwelling strength and strong encouragement. Wow. Because I want to tell you, sometimes the travel, the journey gets kind of tough. And we get weary. But I want to tell you, we can take our weariness to Him, and we can practice remembering. Practice, hey, reiterating. Practice reflecting. Practice ruminating on the truth of who He is and what He said. And God's promise that it would be a indwelling, a mighty indwelling strength to us. So I want to tell you, if we're discouraged, if we're downcast, I understand we got compassion. It's easy to get there. But we're not to stay there. And we don't have a right to stay there because of what God said and what Christ has done. I nearly got knocked on that one. That's just right. He's our refuge, that we might have in mighty indwelling strength and strong encouragement to grasp and hold fast to the rope of hope. That's what I call it. The rope of hope that was appointed for us and set before us. And so let me make this announcement. It's impossible for God to lie. This is a true and unchanging promise that He wants to bless you, and in Christ there's covenant. He's promised that He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. and he has given us strength. It's on the inside of us. It's Jesus in us, and in alignment and agreement to his promise and his word, when we renew our mind to that, it is strength and strong encouragement. We're to be greatly encouraged. This is the norm for the believer. When believers get downcast and discouraged and cold and say, you know, look, we understand. All right, it's easy to happen, but we don't have to stay there. Well, this is good news for you. I'm telling you, sometimes we can go through seasons of depression and discouragement. And I want to tell you, let Jesus be your hope. It's not a human, it's not a certain remedy, it's Jesus. But when we connect with Jesus and practice remembering what he said and what he's done, Holy Spirit reveals who he is. And he's our hope. And he's our strong strength of encouragement. We're to be a people greatly encouraged, and that is going to be you. We're to exhort ourselves in the Lord. Thanks and praise. Hey, look, esteem him. Glorify him. Magnify him. Now, when you take the magnifying glass as a kid and you would zero in on an ant or something, you know, you might say, well, the ant became big, but not really. The ant stayed the same size. Amen? But the magnifying glass helped glorify the ant, magnify, esteem the ant. It didn't change the ant. It changed your perspective. And so I want to tell you, when you esteem the Lord, it doesn't change God. God's forever been big. God's forever been real. God's forever been powerful. He's been forever loving in your behalf. But what it does change is our perspective. And so that is powerful when we esteem and glorify the Lord. We magnify the Lord. And that's a Bible word. When we magnify the Lord, we make him big and all the junk little. Somebody say amen. That's spiritual health. That's important for us. Man, I'm just about to... Okay, let's go far as we can in 4 minutes. I want to tell you, hey, based on what Jesus has done and what God has promised, an unchangeable, he cannot lie, and he will not change toward us. And not because of our report card, but because of what Jesus has done. Hey, we ought to be the most hopeful, the most positive, the most celebrating people on the face of the earth. It ought to be easy to recognize a believer because they're so positive and they're celebrating in thanksgiving because of who he is and what he's done. Now, let me be clear. The devil hates all people. He does. He wants to destroy everybody. He really loves to hang out with the negative people. The murmuring, the complaining, those that are worried, those that are fear-based. You know why? Because they're evangelists for darkness. I know that's kind of strong. See, out of the same mouth can come blessing and cursing. But, hey, he has put hope before us. And because of the promise in Jesus, we have true and great expectation of God's goodness. You know what that is? That's the definition of hope. Great expectation of God's unfailing love chasing us down today in every way. He will surely bless and multiply you. We have the promise of Christ. We have forgiveness. Cross is our payment. His resurrection is the declaration by God that we are righteous. We are on the J team, and the J team is the winning team. The devil's a loser. Hey, we don't cause the blessing. It's grace. We don't cause the blessing. But we do have a part in receiving it. I've told you over and over again, Christians are great receivers, not great achievers. Abraham wasn't perfect. Isaac wasn't perfect. But I want to tell you what they did. They believed God. They had faith toward God. And you know what? They put it into practice with their life. That pleases God. Our part's to believe. Our part's to have a yes faith. What's your heart saying? Be fully persuaded. Be convinced. Be confident in God. Well, Brother Tim, I've missed. Well, you know, you're looking at somebody that's missed too. But his compassions are fresh each morning. Hope and expectation of God's goodness is on the way. And that's what we're looking for, and that's what we're you're expecting. I got time to cover Isaiah 51, so let's do that. Isaiah 51, 1 through 3. Hearken to me, you who follow after rightness and justice, you who seek and inquire and require the Lord, claiming him by necessity and by right. I love the way the Amplified brings this out, because it shows that there's a determined decision in our heart to seek God wholeheartedly. Wow. Look to the rock. Who's the rock? From which you were hewn, and to the hole in the quarry from which you were drugged. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For I called him when he was but one, and I blessed him and made him many. Now look, when people want to criticize, well, you know, you can't go back to Abraham and compare that. Well, the Bible does. New Testament does. The Bible does. It's all right for us to do this. Hey, this is an example for us. 2021, verse 3. Would you catch this? If you catch this, it'll excite you. For the Lord will comfort Zion. Somebody say, the Lord will comfort the church. He will comfort all her waste places. Now let me announce it. If there are some waste places in your life, God restores what the enemy has stolen many times fold. I want to tell you, we got some great testimonies coming through the weather with the saints here in the past week or so, but And you know what? Even with the church, we had a pipe burst. I want to tell you, God had people right there at the right time, at the very moment it happened. And Pastor Justin was boots on the ground, and Terry. And I want to tell you, the city of Euless came free. Come on! But I want to tell you, we saw God's hand in it, and we were able to give thanks. And I want to tell you, at our house, you know, the pool back there that we celebrate with the saints. Boy, it is a mess. But I've told my beautiful blonde, every time you look out that way, say, what the enemy has stolen, God will repay. Seven times fold. And I want to tell you, when you look at it, just holler grace at that mountain. Right? I mean, let's believe God for big. It's the Lord's heart. He will comfort the waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden. Now, I love this verse. My wife's name is Eden. And I want to tell you, thank God, she's a testimony. Every time I see her, I recognize the grace of God. Wow, how big is God? Hey, Eden means delight, pleasure, contentment, bliss. I can add a few words to that, but that sums it up. And she lives out her name. And you know what? It's just like the Lord. Look. Hey, her desert, he will restore your desert like the garden of the Lord. Look, this speaks of church life. And I want to show you what church life sounds like. This sounds like the church. Joy and gladness will be found in her. Thanksgiving and the voice of song and the instrument of praise. I'm telling you, we are a celebration people. Whatever we face, whatever the name is, because his name is greater than any name. Whatever we face doesn't limit God, doesn't limit God's people. We're in the world, but not of the world. We will not allow the gates of hell to advance. No weapon formed against us will prosper. We will resist and rebuke the enemy. We have authority. We pass the allegiance test because we depend on him the most. We put him first. We seek the Lord first. And you know what he says. We put the king first, then the kingdom. All these things will be added unto you. Hey, if it's not happening, we don't blame God. We're to seek him. Because you know what? It probably means that in some way, somehow, we've got a blockage in the flow, a blockage in the heart. Maybe the roof's not off. Maybe the walls are not down. But I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is so good about helping us work with those and get those in order and get those removed so that we can be a great receiver of the King of Kings. Be a channel of blessing. God has all the resources, doesn't he? Hey, can he flow through you? Can he be living water to a thirsty world through you? I want to tell you, we're to be a living stream. I love that word. We're to be a living stream. Amen. Well, my time's up. I'm going to start out next week showing you in the scripture how that we receive what we focus on. Okay, I didn't quite get there, but I want to tell you it's worth waiting on. I'm so excited to share with you. So, you know, be here live in living color, same channel. same time, and let's cover this together because this can change your life, okay? Thank you for being a people that are willing to be a receiver and be listening to a thirsty world. We bless you in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you so much for your love life. Lord, you're our thing. Thank you for being our shepherd. And Lord, thank you that you've promised to chase us down. And Lord, we have great hope. We have great expectation of your goodness and unfailing love chasing us down. Lord, our focus is on you, and we say yes with our heart. And all God's people said, amen. Something good is going to happen to you. You know I love to say that. Isn't that true? Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. We love the Lord.